Hey, welcome to the Ad Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James. Today, we're going to be diving in headfirst into how a sales engagement platform called Salesforge is using AI inside of their own business. And we'll share the exact steps that you can take in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before I dive into that, listen closely. Are you looking to implement AI inside of your own company, or maybe just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI agent for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision that you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take you to get it finished just isn't worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Schedule a consultation today. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Today, I have with me Frank Saunders, who is the CEO of Salesforge. Frank comes with over a decade of experience in B2B sales, working for companies like Google, Similarweb, Black Crow, and Whatagraph. Whether as an individual contributor and all the way leading large sales teams, currently, Frank is building Salesforge.ai to give companies the ability to blend their current sales efforts with AI agents to maximize pipeline and drive down costs. In less than 1 year, they have scaled from 0 to $3 million in annual recurring revenue. Awesome, awesome. Love this. Frank, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle. I'm doing pretty well. Quite a busy week, even though it's the summertime yet. And I would expect, you know, things to quiet down, but they're not so yet.
That's always a good thing when you expect it to be like nice and chill, and it's like, actually, no, it's doing really, really well. I think that's fun for everyone. You know what I mean? So tell us a little bit for the audience. So tell us about yourself and like, what exactly is Salesforge, and how did it come to be?
Yeah. So in my previous gig, I led a sales team of 50, and this is, you know, it was back in the days when it was growth at all costs. And I thought to myself, you know, you typically, you know, if you've been in sales or you've been a sales leader, you know that for every 10 salespeople that you hire, only one person is natural. 2 to 3 people can be trained up to be somewhat good as a person that's natural. And then 60% is what I call dead wood. And I always thought to myself, damn, like all these people in sales, I bet I could do significantly more output with significantly fewer number of people. And so I've always thought to myself, how would the process look like? How would the software look like? What would be my stack to do that? And this is where, due to my kind of own personal frustration, due to my own experience being a VP sales, I thought to myself, damn, I have to put an end to this. So I found a couple of really smart engineers through YC matchmaking platform. And then we started to build Salesforge a couple of years ago with the initial product called Salesforge, but we built other 6 products around that with the main premise of helping companies to hit their pipeline targets, but with the least headcount possible. So it's quite a complex problem to be solved. So it's not like where you can only solve that through one problem, but you actually need to build these multiple different other softwares that help and sort of, you know, make the core software Salesforge significantly better. So yeah, we scaled from 0 to $3 million, profitable, 40 employees right now, from 3 co-founders to 40 employees, still keeping lean and mean. But the reason why we're sort of lean and mean and profitable is because apart from having also our own agent, which is our pinnacle product that can literally blend with your existing sales team, we also run multitude of agents internally for our own business. One example could be, when you would sign up to our, you know, website, Salesforge.ai, if you don't end up buying anything from us within 7 days, then our own agent Frank will call you up. Literally will call you up and say, "Hey Kyle, how's it going? I saw that you signed up, you know, a week ago. What was your experience like? Was anything wrong? Like, is there any reason why you didn't end up buying?" And I'll try to book essentially a call with you. So we also do use a lot of AI agents that we don't necessarily sell, and by being always agent first with every problem that you have in your business, unlocks so much efficiency, and that compounds naturally, right? So we have one guy right now that's building all of these flows. So we use an automation software called NA10, where literally we use as a base to build a lot of the automations and the agents, etc. But our own agent, what it does is, so agentfrank.ai, so you go there, you can literally receive a unique email that will be personalized to you. But what it does is essentially, after you outline your value proposition, what is it that you're selling, who is this for, what's the ICP, what's the pain that you're solving, we then go and source the leads for you across multitude of databases in the world. We then will craft a unique email to every single recipient. So there's typically 3 emails that we would compute and would deliver. And then if the prospect replies back, we would have a conversation back and forth, and then the agent is optimized towards a particular conversion. that we're looking to achieve. And that's typically meeting book. So you should hook up your calendar link or HubSpot link, whatever that is, and then the agent will try and achieve that goal. So today, the average performance of an agent is about 2%, 2.5% reply rate, and that's email only, and that's outbound, that's not inbound. And then from that, there's about 10, 20% positive reply rate. So that means 1 or 2 in 10 replies are positive when you're getting them back. So that's what an agent could do potentially for you. Naturally, it varies. You could sometimes have 10% reply rate because the offer is good. And sometimes the reply rate is also 0% because you simply either don't have product market fit, you don't have a product channel fit. So there's also reasons why natural agents don't work. It's just like, if you think about it, it's just like running a business. So when you hire reps, sometimes, you know, it pans out to be very good because you have a strong product market fit and you just apply really good reps and then things just pan out. But sometimes you have a really bad product, right? And the things just don't happen. So that's how you also have to think about these agents. But the beautiful thing is that you can blend the agent together with your existing Salesforce, right, that you have within one software environment. So you can blend these capabilities. So we're big believers that the whole economy, not just in sales, but also in finance and other spaces, is moving towards augmentation. So you will see reduction in workforce and you will see a lot of agentic capabilities and automations coming into play. I would say, you know, agents are very good on the what's called the email front and also maybe on the social media front. So you could use the agents to communicate via LinkedIn and that also works fantastically. But then what agents can't do, because it's illegal, they can't do, say, cold calling. That's illegal in the US, in Europe, for example. So that's where naturally humans are coming into play. So our sales reps naturally are calling our prospects. Or think of it this way, like an AI agent cannot do, you know, social selling, let's say, on LinkedIn or any other platforms, right? So there's definitely always going to be a space for humans. There's always going to be a need for AI agents because companies have to drive efficiencies these days. They cannot be growing at all costs. But really, the ultimate way forward is where you blend these capabilities for the max output and for the lowest unit cost. So in our case, unit cost that we're sort of optimizing is meeting. But
yeah. Wow. Man, thanks for sharing all that. And I would say, like, I'm really kind of like, I get this number in my mind from the intro I made, like when the 0 to 3 million annual recurring revenue, like that's a big deal. And I think there's a lot of companies who are trying to get off the ground, especially like some startup AI companies. And but like, do you think that like if you didn't have AI in place or like, I guess, how did you get there? That's probably the best way of asking it. How did you get there? And like, do you think AI was kind of like the centerpiece of that to get you that to that next space?
Yeah. So the first software that we launched, we have six softwares. So the first one is Salesforce, the mothership, right? So, and back when we launched, ChatGPT just came out, right? So it was all about GPT-3 and using the GPT-3 in cool ways. And back then, you know, it was all about sending templates to prospects. But there's an intrinsic problem with actually sending any sort of static piece of communication, let's say as a cold email, which is that on one hand, you know, folks have a fatigue with templates. You can see it's not really crafted for you, right, as an individual. And the second problem with any form of templates is that Google is very smart these days. So when Google sees that you get a lot of spam reports and it sees that you have a static piece of content, you will get penalized. So more of your emails will start landing spam. So yes, when we launched Salesforce, the main reason why folks were flocking to us is because we implemented GPT into our core sending engine, and you could craft a unique email to every single person. And yes, it was not perfect. It's not as good as GPT-4 right now, etc. But back then, this was, you know, as good as it gets. And people were like, wow, you can compute a, you know, email unique to me. And I would send that off. And then folks would just go and buy my stuff just because of the email that they saw. So that's also one of the reasons, right? So the because, you know, the core value prop is like, we don't just send emails. We send really good emails. And there's also good logic. So, you know, AI is all about you know, good input in, and then it gives you a good output. So the way that we have designed it is we took the context about the business. So what is it that you're selling? And then naturally we combine that and match that with what is it that we know about, say you, Kyle, based on your LinkedIn activity, based on what's on your profile, on the website, what do we know about Kyle, all the context that's available on the web. So we stitch these two data sets together, we apply GPT on top of that, and voila, we had a email uniquely designed to you. And in Europe, we could do that in French, in German, etc. So that's why, you know, it took off. And that's also, yeah, one of the reasons why it became super successful. But so, like back in the days, you know, AI was always like, oh, we are AI powered. Today, AI is like the default of any software. So if you don't use AI, or if the fact that you say that you are AI powered is already old school, because user's expectation today is that you are AI powered by default, right? It would be kind of crazy to think that you're not. The only thing that I would just mention, that you have to be definitely margin conscious, right? So because naturally AI as you scale can be very expensive. So you definitely have to manage a lot of the aspects of how you build this, et cetera. I think that was the biggest risk. But naturally, the users are, just like I think you mentioned earlier, Kyle, if something is AI-based, and that's where the users aggregate today. If you don't do anything on the AI front today, it feels that you're a bit of an old school of a company, unless there's a good reason why you don't use AI. But yeah, so let's say if you're a big enterprise and when you're, you know, scanning for which of the software you should be buying, you have to have AI by default. It's like a tick box. And so in a lot of cases, yeah, I mean, if you don't have AI baked in, it would be just weird.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be like the norm, right? Like where like it, right now it's like, oh, everyone's trying to get AI, but at some point many of the businesses are going to adopt and the ones that don't, there's a good chance they may not move forward, right? They may not be able to hit their scale that they're trying to go for, their goals. So walk me through, like, let's just imagine here for a moment, like there's people who are listening and they're like, hey, I see this, I'm using like ChatGPT, I'm not really doing much. Like, how do I, what does it look like step by step? Like if someone were to come on board with a company and say, yes, I want to embed AI with the email. Like, walk me through, what does that process look like for them?
Sure. So I wish the process would be very simple, but the reason why the process isn't as simple today is because 99% of companies have never used an AI agent today. And so because of that, using any form of agentic capability feels like a bit like the internet moment where you have to get, the humans have to get onboarded on this. So we do a proper onboarding call. So even though the agent setup in our eyes is like super simple, we always see the problem that unless a human assists you and onboards you on the AI agent for like a week, you know, handholds you, et cetera, helps you to monitor, et cetera, things will just not pan out. So that's exactly what we do at Salesforce. So we set up an onboarding call with every single customer that wants to use Agent Frank. We get them set up, we set up the infrastructure, we sort out the leads, we look at a copy, we make sure the contact is correct, et cetera, and then off they go. So typically after like, you know, a few weeks, et cetera, they're good to go. And so the customers keep on using and they keep seeing results. And typically customers come back when something doesn't work. But yeah, customers still have to monitor the agent. But yeah, there's a typical checklist that we do with every single customer throughout the onboarding. And then we follow up with different bits and bobs via Slack channel. So that's something also that we set up for every single customer. But yeah, once the agent is in place, then there isn't that much that you need to do. Like the biggest, I think, thing is just to monitor the replies and sometimes intervene. So sometimes if the agent doesn't know how to respond with a specific, specific question, then the agent will stop and will wait for the human to intervene. So that's where the human definitely comes into play. But otherwise, the agent can be run literally fully autonomously, where it fully autonomously you get meetings booked. If you don't trust AI for some reason, still there are a lot of people that are not still comfortable with AI. You can run it in what I call the code. So that means when the reply does come back from your prospect, you take over every time.
Okay, so it gives an option. So like initially it's like, hey, it can be completely automatic where the AI is taking over, but if not, you can have it where there's a little bit of manual interjection from the human to keep it running for different.
I think in the future, like majority of the stuff will be fully autonomous. The reason why that's the case is because if the human intervenes in the replies, it slows down the process. So if essentially there's a stat out there somewhere on the internet that if your reply takes longer than 2 hours to reply to your prospect, then the probability of a meeting happen significantly drops. So you have to be really on the ball. Like when the reply comes in, there has to be that ping pong, right? The prospect replied to you and then you want to reply back literally within minutes, right? And because they're still there, maybe at the desk, they're typing, like it accelerates the sales cycle. And you're able to get the meeting on the books much faster than a human intervening, doing bits and bobs, et cetera. So like, I don't see a reason why, maybe right now there's a reason, but like as we progress in a few years, like everything will be fully autonomous because the opportunity cost is just too high, leaving it to a human to respond. So yeah, that's why I run everything on autopilot. And so as I said, the only reason why you want to do the copilot mode is because you don't have enough information about your business in the knowledge base, what we call. So typically you want to upload it like a sales playbook, pricing, FAQs, et cetera. So there's that context that we feed so that the agent can reply every single time. And yes, you may see that, oh, wow, the prospects are asking this particular question or there's a pattern to the type of questions that they ask. Then yes, you can upload more documentation. So essentially the agent just never stops, right? So you can just keep on
yeah,
going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And like, what would you say... like for those, especially with some of your clients you've been working with and maybe internal, because I'm sure you're using this for your own team and then also for your clients, but like what types of results have you been seeing so far? Maybe that's something that's worth mentioning for those who are like, hey, I need to set up AI, I need to set up automations, but I just don't know where, like, is it going to work? Like what, anything, any key metrics that you think is worth notating from the results you've been seeing?
So right now we only do email and outbound, right? So that's the space that we operate. So typically the metrics there are that companies see about 1% reply rate, just globally. That's the, it's called the email reply rate. About 1%, that's like typically best case. Right, our agent has about 2 to 2.5% reply rate on average, and about 10 to 20% positive replies. So like 1 or 2 in 10 are positive that are coming back.
Now, is this, let me ask you, is this cold email only? Is this a mix between, okay, so just cold email, okay.
Yeah, for now, gotcha. We only do cold email. We're looking to massively unlock other channels. So for example, inbound, if we would unlock the agent on inbound, you know, the performance will go through the roof, right? Because naturally you have warm leads, they're coming through, they're showing intent and stuff like that. The other thing that we're looking to roll out in about 2 months or so to make the outbound motion a lot more powerful is we're looking to add LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is not something that we offer yet, but it's coming soon where you'll be able to connect unlimited LinkedIn profiles and you'll be able to essentially hook up your whole team to the agent. So you'll be, the agent will use your profile essentially as a sidekick, essentially, as an assistant. So you'll be reaching out. So the agent can reach out to the prospect via email and then the agent will use your LinkedIn profile to also reach out via LinkedIn. Let's say it's a step two. So that will massively increase reply rates. And we're pretty confident in this because we're already running a test behind the scenes. So for example, we have about 5% reply rate right now on email only. So this is cold email, about 5% reply rate. But on LinkedIn right now, we have 30% reply rate.
Wow, so that's really high.
Yes, 6x lift. This is statistically significant data. This is in the last 30 days, we send about 8,000 connection requests. So it is quite a bit of volume that we are able to say whether this is, you know, significant or not. So there's definitely a huge lift. And so we expect that if we're going to would apply LinkedIn then to every single customer and then the customers would take the whole team and connect them to the agent, they will see far superior results. So we expect that to get to about 5% reply rate. And while the positive, I think, reply rates will, the percentage will still probably be roughly the same. But what will improve is the more replies. Essentially, you'll be getting more replies because of LinkedIn, because multi-channel does add more replies. And as a result, you will be generating more pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely major improvements there. And then we're looking to add other things like videos later on, memes, and you name it.
Yeah. And that actually brings up next question that, I mean, obviously the LinkedIn is a really cool approach in the video. Like, what are some of those maybe upcoming AI initiatives, you know, stepping in these next couple of years? And like, where do you see it maybe playing that biggest? You know, you talked about inbound as one option, but obviously outbound is kind of the main goal. Like, where do you see the operations going to next?
So what we have seen the last sort of 2-3 years, that we have seen a huge progress on the text front, right? Computing text, etc. Then we have seen major improvements in voice. So this is where we have unlocked, for example, voice for our own business. We call, and it's legal. You can call your inbound leads if they don't end up buying, or you can call them immediately. It's up to you. But like the agents are really good on inbound. And then the next wave and the final wave is the video of the wave. And I think
some folks
have seen this year LLMs being applied to making movies, etc. But guess what? Just taking your picture, Kyle, off LinkedIn, I can make you say things and do things on the camera, whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is possible. And the tech is getting really, really, really good. So this year, and literally over the next year or two, you'll be getting more videos from folks out there where they haven't done the video. They just tossed the AI to tell you a specific thing. And again, the concept will be very similar. I will be talking about you and your business on the video, and I'm going to try and explain how I can help and solve, you know, potentially a pain that I'm assuming you're having, right? So, or maybe I see something on your LinkedIn profile or something on as a LinkedIn post that you mentioned, and I can kind of latch on that. So that will be, I think, the biggest disruption that we're going to see in the world of sales technology generally, not just sales technology, but also naturally movies and everywhere where the videos, essentially, we're going to see huge, huge impact there. And I'm personally very excited because I can give you any accent, Kyle, whether British, English, or any American accent, but also I can make you speak any language. I can make you speak French and German, whatever, you know. So all of those capabilities unlocks huge conversion lift for especially global companies out there, right? So I'm building big on video. We're going to be building video as well ourselves because we do see a huge potential to embed essentially videos within sequencing essentially or campaigns to drive a significantly superior lift in performance. Because the problem with some companies when we work with them is they have a very tiny TAM. And so when you have a very tiny TAM, you're like, you need to essentially engage with the prospect that you're working with in multitude of different ways, but also what is it that you, how you engage, right? So what do you take, send them a quick, you know, email message or maybe a LinkedIn DM. But then what will trigger sometimes people a lot is the video message. So there are a lot of industries where video is not that saturated at all. So when you get a video, you're like, wow, this is really cool. And somebody can explain to you in a video far, far better than a piece of text. And so people are susceptible to videos. It's just that some folks digest information via video far better. So folks like me, for example. So I'll give you an example. I really hate reading books. I know it sounds weird, but I really hate reading books. But what I really love to do is watch YouTube videos all day long. All day long, I could watch a YouTube video and I could digest the same book. I'm going to digest far better and I'm going to get a dopamine hit just by, you know, being on YouTube all day long than me reading a book, right? So some people are like, you know, wired like that. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I think that's, I mean, there's so many approaches that you can take. And you know, I think the video generation is something that's super fascinating. I mean, I imagine even like a movie, right? As they're developing new movies out there, it's like, okay, let's start throwing out like different lines for different people. Like, hey, let's see if people respond appropriate with this AI generated trailer. Let's see if they respond to this. And then based on that, they can create content. And it's like, there's just so many different, and for those like listening in, as we start wrapping this conversation up, Frank, where can people learn a little bit more about you and then maybe learn a little bit more about Salesforge that you'd recommend them check out?
Yeah, the final thing I want to say, even this podcast could be all done by an LLM. So you never know whether this is even real or not, right? So I just say.
Yeah.
But if you want to find out more about me, Frank Saunders on LinkedIn, you can find me quite easily. The guy with the bacon emoji comes from the saying, bringing home the bacon. That's literally what we do. If you're not sure what bringing home the bacon means, just go to ChatGPT and check it out. Otherwise, you can check out our website. You know, you can book a demo if you want to check out how the agent works, etc. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you can easily find me on the web. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Frank. I appreciate you having on the show today. And for those listening in, remember, if you're looking to implement AI into your business today, don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress that AI could cause just isn't worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer and let them build out and manage an AI for you. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Signing off for now. Have a great rest of your day, Frank. It's a pleasure, my friend. Hopefully we'll see you on the show again in the future. And looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of AI Chronicles.